we have a mouth that can speak, and he can't wait for us to speak to him and dialogue with him. And I want to tell you something. Nothing surprises God. Nothing surprises God. And many times he will allow me to go through things and have the dealings of God. And the reality of these dealings and these showings is to show me what is really in my own heart. You hear me? What's in my heart? He already knows what's in my heart. He already knows my thoughts and intents of my heart. What he wants me to do is see it. What's really inside of me. Amen? Turn with me to Matthew 28. Thanks, love. Matthew 28, 16 to 19. And it says this. I'll read it from up here. I'll read from 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Footnote hint. I just want to chat for a bit. The name of Jesus Christ, the name, his title, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you use that name, you're actually using the Trinity name of God. Lord Father, you can read this in 1 Corinthians 13. Lord Father, Son Jesus, Christos Christ. He was not Christ until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, even though he had the Holy Spirit within him. Amen. His surname is not Christ. His first name is Jesus' earthly name. He is the Word, declared Jesus, and he is Lord. Amen. The dilemma in the church today is most people only want Jesus Christ. The benefits of Jesus, salvation, the Christos of Jesus, the power and the anointing, but they don't want the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And without the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I can never truly be a disciple of Jesus. Amen? Even though I'm a son of God, I can still be what they call a weos, which is a child of God or a babe in Christ, and not come into maturity in Christ, right? And he wants me to become a mature son. Can I hear an amen? God doesn't want to leave you the same as a babe in Christ. A babe in Christ is carnal, carnally minded. 1 Corinthians 3:1 will say, while you are still yet got divisions and envies and strife, are you not yet still carnal? So he's talking to the church. We can have carnal church. We can have carnal Christians. We can be full of carnality in church, even though we're confessing the name of Jesus. Can I hear another amen? Therefore, he wants me to come into the anointing of God and receive the anointing and the power of God to mature. You will not be able to mature yourself. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the anointing of God. So when he reveals things to you, them dealings in the spirit, them dealings in your soul, them dealings in your flesh, he empowers you and graces you to overcome. You and I cannot overcome by our own strength or our own might, because if I did and I could, I wouldn't need Jesus. But I need Jesus, because this old man within me tries to resurrect himself on a continuous basis. Can I hear an amen? Thank God, I'm not the only one. He tries to resurrect himself on a continuous basis, and there is a fight in me. And there's a warfare in me. Galatians says this, that the spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the spirit. But you're a triune being. Spirit is lusting against the flesh is lusting against the spirit. What's missing? Your soul. So the flesh is lusting against the spirit, and the spirit is lusting against the flesh to control my soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. It wants to control it. So as a man thinks, so that your spirit is saying no to the flesh, and your flesh is saying, but I want control. I refuse to let go. And there's a warfare, there's a pull, there's a tug. And a lot of times we blame the enemy, but really it's the enemy. It's the real enemy that is the enemy. And so there's a warfare, there's a tug, there's a pull within me saying, you know what? If I'm all by myself, who will know? Well, he knows. He knows all things. So therefore, God wants to reveal some things within me to mature me as a son. Who wants maturity as a son this morning? Who wants to go further? Who believes they can go further on in God? Hallelujah. Never think you can't get on further with God. There is more to God than we can even imagine or think. How high, how deep, how wide, how broad he is. There's so much of God that we can't even contain him. There's so much to experience in our God. And he wants me to experience it. Hallelujah. The first disciple to be made before you go and make is you. You can only take people where you're at. Hello. You can only take people where you're at. Amen. In the making, there's always a trial, a challenge that one will have to face, some defining moments that challenges one's faith and hope in one's life. In the making, there comes a revealing of his purpose and the plan for one's life. He places a system of order in the process of the making. He orders my steps. He makes sure what I have to go through. If there's a mountain that I'm facing and I'm running away from my mountain, he will allow me to wander through a wilderness maybe, but you will eventually have to go back to that mountain. He will not let you escape. There is no escape clause. There's no shortcut. If you want to do a good study, there's a great word called in the process of time. Time has a process in your life, and God will make sure you will overcome the mountain before you can possess your land. Can I hear an amen? He wants you to possess the land on the promises of God, but you have to overcome those things he makes you face. Speak to your mountain, and it shall be removed. Most of us want to avoid the mountain. We don't even want to speak to it. Hallelujah. He wants to cause us to follow regardless. He wants to be obedient when I don't feel him. He wants to have faith when I can't see him. And sometimes that transition from seeing and hearing and seeing and knowing is a tough step. Sometimes that faith is a tough step. If you want to look at that in someone's life, look at Abram. He says, and I will take you to the promised land. Follow me and I will take you. Chapter 15, he says, go before me. 1 minute he's leading Abram. But when he became an Abraham, he says, go before me. Now he's got his back. And sometimes you can't see God in your circumstance. But I want to assure you this morning, he's got your back. And in the midst of all you've had in your back, he's training your ear to hear. So we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Amen. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 3. Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 3. Here it is. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. You must be careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. So God has placed a condition in possessing the land. Observe. Be obedient. And you shall remember the Lord your God led you all these 40 years in the wilderness. You shall remember. This is another thing for Christians. What we've got to do is start remembering on the goodness of God instead of remembering on what you think God hasn't done. Remember the goodness of God. Remember what he has done for you. How little it might be, how insignificant in the moment it might be, but when you reflect back, they can be life-changing moments by just him doing something so small. Remember the goodness of God. Hallelujah. So often we waste life and energy and even vocabulary and words talking about what God, we don't think, has done. If God hasn't done it, you don't need it. God led you all this way, 40 years in the wilderness to what? Why did he lead them 40 years in the wilderness? To humble and test you to know what is in your heart, for you to know what is in your heart. Amen? To know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger. God allowed me to hunger? He allowed me to hunger. And he fed you with manna. Manna. Manna means this. What is it? What is it? I don't understand. What is this stuff? I don't understand this stuff. And God says, eat it. Even though you don't understand it, eat it. Even though you might like it, eat it. Manna. Fed you manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by what? Man shall not live by bread. Like man shall not live by the power of your own hand or the wisdom of your own mind. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Say it again. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The life source that you need to hear is the very word that proceeds from his mouth. It isn't the other blessing. It isn't you getting what you want to get. It isn't God showing, giving you a fuzz and a buzz. It's a revelationary word that goes to your spirit that brings change to your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the greatest issue we have is we don't wait. We do. Amen? There was two people on the Emmaus Road. Luke chapter 24. Let's turn there. Luke 24. Luke 24. I'm going to read from verse 13. Now behold, two of them. One man was called Cleopas. Two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. The word Emmaus literally means this, lukewarm. They were going down to a place that was lukewarm. They had just seen the death of Jesus Christ. They had left Jerusalem. Jerusalem means the place of peace. They just left their peace and they were going down to a place called lukewarm. You see, when something disturbs you that much in life, you can lose your peace. When something that you think should happen and hasn't happened, see, don't forget the Jews at that time, they were waiting for a kingdom. They were waiting for this kingdom to come. This utopian kingdom that is full of love and peace and joy, where there's no tears, no sorrow, this garden of Eden again upon the earth. They were waiting for that. They knew about that. And if he was declaring himself king, where's his kingdom? So they got despondent. They didn't see what they wanted to see. They didn't receive what they thought they should have received, and they walked. Most people that are backslidden backslide either through hurt, pain, rejection, or they get disappointed in God. These men, and they talk, verse 40, they talk together all the things which had happened. Isn't it amazing when you get despondent and discouraged, you start talking the wrong talk? Their vocabulary had changed. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The day of resurrection, Jesus appeared to two men. The day of his resurrection, he stops them and appears to two men on a place that's going downwards of lukewarmness to stop them going to that place. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so they did not know him. Yeah. Yeah, that's what discouragement will do. It'll stop you seeing the goodness of God. It will. He'll be next year, but you can't hear it. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Can you imagine God saying this? What kind of conversation is this? I've just died. I've suffered a cross. I'm resurrected, and you're moping around sad. What kind of conversation? I mean, I reckon Jesus was going to give him a slap. What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another? As you walk, you are sad. This is what sad says. That's never going to happen. This is what another thing sad says. Oh, they don't really love me. Oh, here's another sad one. Here's another sad one. The church doesn't really know what it's doing. Other sad ones. If they really knew what that person's done to me, they'd get rid of him. Sad. Next, please. Sorry, this is it. This is good. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem?" Can you believe the audacity of this bloke? "Are you the only one stranger in Jerusalem that have not known the things which have happened there in these days?" Here he is, moping, groaning, and complaining. Then he's got the audacity to tell someone off. But that's what happens when you get upset. See, everyone else is to blame. And he said to them, "What things?" Jesus asking a question. What things? What are these things that are really ticking you off? What things are really getting under your goat? What's these things that are really upsetting you? What things? So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth." Now you know how far they've gone by the next statement they make. Who was a what? Oh, dear Lord. He's just been resigned from Savior. Now to good advice. A prophet. He is a prophet. But above a prophet, he's Savior. But above a prophet, he's King. But above a prophet, he's Christ. They didn't see that. They saw prophet. Mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and their rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping. We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. We were hoping he's going to fulfill my dream. We were hoping he's going to fulfill what I want him to do. Jesus, just do what I want you to do and I'll follow you all the days of my life. Just do it, Jesus. Please do it. Then the next week, "Oh, Jesus, if you just do this again." Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb astonished us. Next one, please. And when they did not find his body, they came saying that they may also have seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. See, discouragement will slow you down. Discouragement will affect your heart. Discouragement and expecting God to do what you expect him to do because you want it to happen will cause something to affect your heart. And instead of following him for who he is, and not the benefits of what he is. And may I even say to such an extreme, even heaven. If you're following God just to get to heaven, you're following for the wrong reason. Heaven is a byproduct of Jesus. Paul got it right in Philippians 3. The reason I'm following Jesus is that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. Wherever Jesus is, whether a pit or a palace, heaven is. Wherever the king is, that's where his kingdom is. Don't limit, don't put God in a box. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And all of us Christians are shouting, yes, amen, hallelujah, give it to me. And then we leave the last line out. And the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, let's change the translation. Let's get a paraphrase, please. But the fellowship of his sufferings. Hallelujah. Being conformed to his death. Because without a death, there cannot be a resurrection within me. Without a cross, I can't wear a crown. Hallelujah. And at the beginning of to Moses and all the prophecy expanded to them, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So what he was trying to tell them wasn't about a kingdom. What he was trying to tell them was not about the benefits. He was expounding about himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. He indicated that he would have gone further. Next, please. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." Yet they're still on the slippery slope of lukewarmness. And he went in to stay with them. And it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that they took bread, blessed and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. Highlight that. Three things Jesus came to do in Luke 24. Number one, open your eyes. Their eyes were opened. He revealed the cross. The nail prints in his hand. And when you keep reminding yourself of the price and the goodness of God and the cross, your eyes will be opened. But if you keep looking at the blessedness and the goodness and what he's going to do for me, and don't get me wrong, he does all that, right? But that is not my aim. My aim is to know him. It opens my eyes. Amen. And they knew him. They what? They knew him. And that's the cry, that should be the cry, the clarion cry of our heart, that I may know him. That I may know him. I'm not against blessing. But blessing, if you're seeking blessing alone, you're missing the whole purpose of your salvation. It's him. They rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. Where did they go back? To their place of peace. They stopped their slippery slope. They turned around. Their eyes were opened. Hallelujah. To know him. Glory to God. And they went to those who they gathered. Here's another opening. You ready? Number one, there's a making in the waiting and the following of Jesus Christ. If you want to be a disciple, there's a making of a disciple in the waiting and the following of Jesus Christ. Follow me and I will make you. I'll make you. Hallelujah. Disciple. Follow me. Three things, verse 31 of 24. He opened their eyes and they knew him. Verse 32. They said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened what? Hallelujah. He opened their eyes. Now he's opened the word. Do you know one of the greatest travesties that's happening in the body of Christ is people aren't reading the word. People aren't reading the word. How can he reveal himself if you don't read about him? How can he show you the things he wants to show you if you don't partake with him? And the devil will do anything in his power to keep you from the word. The word which is life. The word which is God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word that has the capacity to speak to your situation so uniquely and individually That's a living word. Where people can read it over and over and over again and get nothing out of it. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost gives you revelation in the moment you need it. And the word becomes alive. And it speaks to your soul and gives you the strength to carry on. But the dilemma is a lot of people don't want to read the word. And I really believe it's because their eyes have been closed over. They've got scales. And here's another thing with it, familiarity. Familiarity will kill the desire for the things of God. And how we get familiar is this, because we minimize Him and not look at Him as God Almighty. And so you hear some people say, he's my bro, he's my friend, he's just your mate, he's just a good pal. He's all that. But He is God Almighty, to be revered in reverence and in godly fear, that He alone is the creator of all things. Amen. He deserves to have respect. Our Father who art in heaven, relationship, position, heaven, status. Hallowed be thy name, reverence and revered. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom, it's all about you, Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's all about the kingdom. Give unto me my, now it's about me, my daily bread, my need. Lead me not into, bit of an oxymoron, isn't it? Because James, forgive. Because James says this, the Lord tempts no man. Lead me not into temptation. What temptation? What was he just talking about? Forgiveness. Lead me not into the place of temptation to not forgive my brother. It's a temptation to hold on to your hurt. It's a temptation to justify yourself. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from this evil. It's evil to walk in unforgiveness. It's actually wickedness to walk in unforgiveness. Amen? So there's our God saying He will open our scriptures to us in verse 32. Verse 45 says this, and He opened their understanding to comprehend the scriptures. He opened their understanding. He opened the scripture. He opened their understanding. He gave them eyes to see. He opened every level of that. But you can only get that. He can only open if you pursue the word. He can only open if I pursue the word. And more than ever before, the day we're living in, you better be a student of the word of God. I'm not saying you have to be a great scholar, but I am saying this. While you read it, He will reveal Himself. Amen. This enabled them, this opening enabled them to go back and wait, and then they're making, there's a waiting and a following. They got a taste of the power of the Holy Ghost. Even though the Holy Ghost hadn't been poured out, they got a foretaste of what the Holy Ghost can do. He will open blind eyes. He will reveal the word of truth to you. He is the Spirit of truth. Amen. And He will give you the counsel and understanding of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You will then be asked, while you have received the Holy Ghost, is everyone born again here this morning? Yes? You have the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God dwelling within you. You are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? You have the capacity to hear from God. You have the capacity to hear from God. Amen? They got a foretaste of that. They were in communion. When you're in communion with the Spirit, His primary task, the Holy Ghost's primary task, is that you might know Him, Jesus. He reveals Jesus. He takes no glory for Himself. You don't pray to the Holy Ghost. You don't revere the Holy Ghost in the sense of going to the Holy Ghost all the time. You always go to the Father through the Son. The Son reveals the Father. The Holy Ghost reveals the Son. And the Father reveals all them. We don't pray to the Holy Ghost. You pray to Father. How do we pray? Our Father who art in. Jesus always points me to the Father. The Holy Ghost always points me to Jesus. He's revealing Jesus. The whole work of the Holy Spirit is to transform you and change you to reveal Jesus. And hopefully one day you'll wake up like Him. That we'll be transformed to such a point that the world might behold the what? The Christ in. Where? The Christ in you. The hope of glory. You'll be asked to walk by faith. Verse 25, foolish thinking or dull, means dullness of heart. Two areas attacked in most Christians' lives will be this: their believing and their thinking. That's the battleground. You're believing and you're thinking. You're believing and you're thinking. Wrong conversation and a faith that has been reasoned away leads me to further away from Him and His promises. Faith that has been reasoned away. How do they do that? Look at the garden. The woman, called Adam at the time, the serpent came to her and says, "You can eat of the tree. You'll not surely die." "Oh no, if I eat of that, I will surely die." "No, you won't. You'll be just like God." The serpent reasoned with her. And she took. Amen. She partook. The man who was just behind her, as she turned and gave him the fruit, partook. Amen. Their faith was reasoned away. If you allow your soul to continue without renewing your mind, it will reason away the things of God. So we have a lot of Christians that know of Him, but they don't know Him. We have a lot of Christians that seek His hands, but not His face. We have a lot of Christians that say, "Give me, bless me, help me." Instead of, "Lord, say, God, give me the grace to endure. Help me carry my cross. God, help me to bear the burdens I need to bear." And seeking Him in my prison, singing a melody in my entrapment, singing love songs when I don't feel loved. Loving on Him when everyone else might be against me. Loving His church no matter what they've done to me. The greatest battle I have ever faced in my life is getting back to a place of loving His church. Because people are people. Hear me, people are people. They're no different to me. And I'm complaining to God about them, and God then looks at me and says, "Should we have a talk?" And He turns the page back, all the garbage I might have done, all the things I could have said, they did say. So do we need to have a chat? "Oh, that's right, David, I blotted them out. They're washed in my blood. I've shown you grace. I've given you love and mercy, and I've covered you. What about loving me back by loving them?" He speaks a word to me. When I seek Him, He'll speak a word to me until that which has blinded me falls away as I eat at His table. just like he did to them two disciples. The scales will fall from his eyes. Amen. While I eat his table. My dull hearing burns again by the revelation of the power of the word. Did not my hearts burn within me when he revealed the word to us? Did not my passion get ignited afresh through the power of the word of God? Renew in me a passion for you. And we want this zap, give me, strike me, put a cloud over me, do all the stuff. And yet we're not even able to open a Bible to say, show me. Show me some of you. I remember years ago I went to a place in Canada. I was a pastor. And my spiritual dad said, let's go for a walk. About midnight, we're walking around the caravan park, big track. And he challenged me. He says, David, I want you to empty yourself of yourself. Empty yourself of all your mindsets. Empty yourself of your beliefs. Empty yourself. So we're going to have a chat. And for 4.5 hours, we went around this park from Genesis to Revelations. And he's sharing Christ. Nothing else but the Christ. And sometimes it's very hard to put down your preconceived ideology, your thinking, your learning, to get a fresh revelation. Did I agree with everything he said? No. But if you're a true brother or sister in love, you can agree to disagree and keep on loving. Can I hear an amen? That's what the body does. Do I believe everything you believe? No. Do you believe everything I believe? No. Does that make you an alien to me? No. Are you a foreigner? No. You might have more revelation in that area. But one thing I can assure you of, you need me. And I need you. Amen. Glory to God. We have to get back to that place of faith and wait on Him. That He will reignite that fire in my spirit. But this communion with Him is two-way. I have to be a man or a woman of the Word. As I take hold of Him and His Word, He reveals Himself that I might see. Do our hearts burn within us while He talks with us? And I hear a lot of Christians say this to me. I don't get anything out of my Bible. Just be faithful to it, and it will come. It mightn't be a whole sermon. It might just be a line. It might be a word that will change your life forever. Just be faithful. That's like going to Jesus saying, well, Jesus, I'm going to talk to you because I really don't get much out of you. It's the truth. He's the Word. I really, you know, when you're ready, come and talk to me. As if you've got the right to talk to the potter how the clay should be made thus. Did it not our hearts burn with it? Who wants a fresh touch of God to start the fire in their belly again? Hallelujah. I believe God can do that. With all my heart, I believe God can do that. What I cannot do for you, is open your Bible. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Renew in me a passion for you. Renew in me a passion for you. Let your fire burn. Breathe on the coals of my heart. Let your fire burn. Hallelujah. That's you this morning. You just lift your hands before the Lord. Renew in me a passion for you. Renew in me a passion for you. Let your fire burn. Breathe on the coals of my heart. Let your fire burn. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. Oh God, we come before you. Empty. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Place that hunger and that thirst of your Spirit within each one of us. Forgive us for what we've made it this morning, Father. Help us, Father, to come back to that altar of worship and adoration, thanksgiving. Help us, Father. And God, if our altar in their house is broken, teach me to restore my altar in my home. Father, this morning, let your fire fall in the name of Jesus. Oh God, Father, I want my house aflame, burning brightly for you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that God, we would truly be that light set upon a hill. We truly be that lamp set upon a table, not hidden. Father, being able to be seen and be able to be read by all men. We ask in the name of Jesus, change me. Change me. Help me. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from this evil, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. You're a God of new beginnings. And Lord, though they couldn't see you, here's the key to the whole parable. You saw them. You saw them and you met them where they were at. Meet us right now where each one of us are at this morning. In Jesus' holy name. And Father, we give you license. We give you license to change us, shape us, and mold us to the vessel you require us to be, that you might get glory for all things. Help us, Father, that our heart and our cry and our spirit